Hey friends, this is Mario J. Radford. I'm the pastor of Growth Point Church, and this is our podcast. I pray that it connects, leads, and maybe introduces you to a growing and life-changing relationship with Jesus. Now let's go into the message. This story, before we get to this story, and we find that Sarah was laughing. Well, before she was laughing, in another chapter in Genesis, this is chapter 21, but a few years earlier, there was a word that came to Sarah and Abraham who were already old. And the word came to them and said, hey, God says that you're going to birth a child in your old age. Abraham received it. I don't know if he was on any special medication from any CVS store, but he received, you'll get that next year, but he received that he was still able to do things in his old age. But Sarah, knowing that Abraham couldn't do what he thought he could do, laughed. And she said, shall Abraham still perform for me at this age? I don't have time to really explain that, but for those of you who just have a great creative mind, she couldn't grasp that Abraham could still do anything for her. So she laughed, saying that there's no possible way that this could happen. But the prophet said, why are you laughing in denial? And he said, whatever happened, whatever I say is going to happen. Well, sometimes when God says something to you, there's a little bit of a delay where it does not immediately happen. And sometimes we go from receiving something to waiting on something. And I don't know if there's anybody in the room who's waiting on something right now. Could I have a show of hands in the room and just say, I'm just waiting on something? Some of you are waiting on the right man or the right woman. I'm starting early because I don't have a long time. You're just with somebody to pass the time right now. But you're waiting on your good thing. Some of y'all got a wig because you can't afford weave, but you're just waiting until you can get what you got. I get where you are. Hold on. Just don't worry. I'm coming where you are. I'm coming. Don't fool with me. Don't push me. I'm coming. So Sarah got impatient, and this is what threw me off a little bit, because Sarah got impatient, and when she got impatient, she made a decision. She said, I can't bear a child for you.
That's right.
So since I can't bear a child for you, we have a help,
right,
lady. We have a slave or someone who's a part of our staff. He said, her name is Hagar. Why don't you go sleep with her? What was interesting to me, brothers, is that the man never responded and said, oh, no, I would never do that. I would never go sleep with somebody else. He looked at her and said, are you sure? You want me to go? What you can't do, you want me to go find it in somebody else? Are you sure? She said, yeah. He said, you ain't got to tell me twice. So he left. And he went to go find a lady named Hagar. And he went and he joined and connected with her. And out of that connection, a child was born. The child was born, and in Genesis, the 16th chapter, we find that this child was born, I'm paraphrasing, it says in verse 3, now Abraham had lived 10 years in Canaan, his wife took Hagar, a servant, gave to him, and verse 4 says, and when he went into Hagar, she conceived, but what was interesting about, she told him to go sleep with another woman, but when she saw that this other woman, turn me down a little bit, when he saw this woman conceived, and she couldn't, all of a sudden, she got jealous of the other woman. And all of a sudden, she started to eye her from that day. It was her decision, but she was upset about it. And I want to talk to some of y'all right now who some of the things that are going on in your life are your decision, but you're mad about it. You're blaming somebody else for a decision you made. You knew they were never good for you, but you upset. And every time somebody sees you, like, I don't understand, but it's your decision. And you did it. Now you're in it. And now you're upset that you didn't listen to your first instinct in the first place. And now you're upset because instead of patience, you try to make something happen that God wanted you to wait to happen. And you have to be careful when you're in a waiting decision, because while you're in waiting, people will come to visit you while you're in waiting. People will come and they will inconveniently come at a convenient time and meet you and try to connect with you. And I don't know who I'm talking to, and will join with you while you're in waiting. And because you're waiting, they look better to you while you're waiting, because what you were waiting on hasn't happened yet. So you wind up making the decision in the waiting room instead of waiting for the doctor to come and actually give you the right results. Look at somebody and say, wait a little bit longer. Just wait, just wait, wait, just wait, just wait. It's going to be over soon, but you got to wait. There's a lot of us who make a lot of decisions because we're anxious. And we start making the decision, we start wrestling, we start connecting with people that were never supposed to be for us. Friends were not friends, they were frenemies, and they were never designed to be in your life. There were some people who were only there for season, and you try to make them a lifetime partner, and they were only there for one semester. They were not supposed to be there for the duration of your life. There's a such thing as outgrowing seasons and outgrowing people and outgrowing friendships, and looking at people and say, I'm not where I used to be. I'm not there anymore. I thank you for what you used to be, but for what I'm trying to be, I don't need you. You're only hindering me for what I'm supposed to be in my life. Somebody say, wait. So, she impatiently, I feel like I got a choir stand. She impatiently devised a plan. And as she devised a plan, she got mad at the plan she devised and made up. So verse 21, now we're in chapter 21, it says the Lord visited her. And the Lord did as he promised. Now it makes sense, because now in verse 2, now it says years later, after she did something. Have you ever had made a wrong decision and then later on the right decision shows up? And now you're looking at what you shouldn't have done and looking at what, if I would have waited. Have you ever looked back at your high school yearbook and who you thought you were going to be with, and you ran into them at the Circle City class, and you like, Jesus, I thank you. Come on, somebody just give God a praise break for what didn't happen. We all got a shoulda, coulda, woulda, but didn't. So, now, years later, what God said would happen did happen. Now she has conceived a child. And as she has conceived a child, now she's laughing again. But this time her laugh is not in denial. This time her laugh is saying, in spite of what I did wrong, he still blessed me. In spite of me making a bad decision, everybody knew the bad decision I made, but now I'm laughing that he still blessed me and I didn't deserve it. Is there anybody in the room who would be real honest to say there are a lot of things you deserve that didn't happen? There are a lot of things that only you know, that if other people knew, you would crawl up in a hole somewhere. But sometimes you wake up and laugh because God covered it. Some things that should have been leaked, some things that should have been spoiled, some Snapchats that shouldn't have dissolved, but that did dissolve, and you just lift your hands like, Lord, thank you for covering that. Thank you for removing it. Thank you that nobody saw it. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody lift your hands and just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So she laughs in spite of that and says that in spite of my wrong, God still kept his word. I could shout and run down the street just on that. That in spite of the things I've done, the places I've been, the decisions I made wrong, that he still blessed me still. He blessed me in spite of all that. So in verse 5, it says, and Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and everyone who hears of this will laugh. And she said, who would have said that I would have done this in my old age? And the reason that she laughed is that in spite of her choices, in spite of what she did wrong, the first thing is, God gave her another chance. Can we just praise God for another chance? I can't tell you how many chances I did not deserve, but he gave me anyway. Have you ever been stopped by the police? Driving a limit you knew you weren't supposed to drive. And you knew what you were supposed to get. You were supposed to get a ticket. But when the person came to your window, and of course you had your hands outstretched and all that stuff, and while you were standing there, and he came to the window, you're like, oh my God. And you start praying because you hadn't prayed in 6 months, but you prayed because you saw the lights. The window rolled down, and you knew you were guilty, gave him your license, registration, all that type of stuff. And he goes to the car, stays there for 20, 30 minutes, seems like a lifetime. All of a sudden, they come back. Instead of a ticket, he says, this is just a warning. Have you ever deserved a ticket? Take it out of the police. Have you ever deserved a ticket? Something you should have been locked up, should have been somewhere, but instead of the ticket, it should have been locked up. God said, this is a warning. I can't tell you how many times my parents said to me, this is the last time. You got one more time. And there are times in my life that God has given me another chance when I did not deserve it. So in spite, and this is what's interesting, that she named the child Isaac. And the name Isaac means God has made me laugh. There are some blessings in your life that you should name it so you can remember it. When somebody thinks it's a car, tell them it ain't the car. It's not the financial aid. It's not any of that type of stuff. I named it because God did it in spite of me. So that every time you call that name, every time they say Isaac, it is the point of reference that God made her laugh. So my point here is, God's promises do not alter because we do. Just because we do stuff wrong doesn't mean God changes his mind about what he said he's going to do for you. And I want to teach, and this is a message for all of you who feel like because of what you've done, God will change his mind. God does not change his mind because of what you've done. Everybody got quiet. Because we live in a judgmental society. That when you do something wrong, your friends leave you and they unfriend you and they unfollow you and they unblock you. They all that type of stuff. But God is not social. God knows everything you've done that you've never posted and still loves you. And has never unfriended you. We unfriend him before he unfriends us. While I was still in sin, he loved me. His promises don't alter because we do. 2 Corinthians 1 chapter verse 20 says, for the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. For those of you who don't know what amen is, and it's not a Baptist or Methodist or Catholic word, it means so it is. When I say amen, that means that everything that is in God will happen. Say amen again one more time. Say amen. Amen means it is so. It's not it will be so. It is so. All the promises of God are through him, and we utter our amen to the glory of God. Genesis 21st chapter verse 8 says, and the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that the child was weaned. Now, according to the Eastern culture, when they weaned the child, this child in that time, children had to depend on their mother for 3 years. That's all I can say about that. They had to depend on her for 3 years. So now the 3 years are up. So now all of a sudden the child has grown, and it says, verse 9 says, but when Sarah, and so now there's a great feast, and Abraham wants to present this child to the family. So this is a big deal that they're out here, and there's this big unveiling of the promised child. Now, what was interesting is there was never a party for the outside child. But there was a party for the promised child. There are some things you got that you weren't supposed to get that you don't talk about. But when you get what you're supposed to get, you want everybody to know. But why is it that you don't talk about what you did wrong? Why is it most of our testimonies only talk about the good part? But we don't tell what God really did and how it when it really went down in the DM. We don't tell the real story. We only tell what we want people to know. So they had a public display for Isaac, but they didn't have a party for the outside child. So now, while they were there, this is going to make sense in a minute. So while they were having this outside display, verse 9 says, but Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the outside child, saw him. She saw that child laughing, and she got upset. It's interesting because earlier, Sarah got mad at the other child's mom. So there was contention between them. Now the other child has raised, and now he's looking over at Isaac and he's laughing at the child like mocking. It's like, y'all gonna throw a party for him, but y'all ignore me. Y'all gonna sit here and celebrate the promised child, but I'm still the son too.
That's right.
Have you ever had to look at somebody and say, he still loves me too? Even in the midst of what you know about me, he still knows me. He still loves me. And that's what he was doing. It's like he was looking at the other child like, I know you, the promised child. And this is how a lot of us, and I'm sorry to mess a lot of y'all up, this is how a lot of church people treat other people. Maybe not y'all. I've been holy all my life, and here they come up here trying to change their church. They don't have on long skirts. They don't have on this, and they don't have on that, and they look like they ain't going to church. When I was going to church, we used to wear suits, and we used to do all this type of stuff. So it's like you feel better because you've been in something longer than I have. So you feel like you deserve more love because you've done it right, and I'm still trying to figure it out. Can I talk to people in the room who you still trying to figure it out? And you don't know where Luke is. You don't know where Hosea is. You don't know where Acts is. You don't know if I'm talking about your cousin or I'm talking about the Bible. But you're sitting here saying that even though I don't know it, what I do know is that he loves me while I'm still trying to figure it out. I smell like weed, but he loves me. I got a few different partners, but he loves me. I might have a switch in myself, but he still loves me. I don't know who my daddy is, never met him. Don't know who my mama is, but he still loves me. Is there anybody in the room who would say he still loves me? I don't know how to shout like you. I don't know how to dance like you. Actually, I haven't been to church. The only reason I came here is because Mr. Level told me he'd dock my grade if I didn't come here. It has nothing to do with church. I don't know nothing about being in church, but what I do know is that for some reason, he still keeps waking me up every single day, and he keeps starting me on my way, and for some reason he loves me. And you have to learn how to look over judgmental people, look over so-called church people who want to condemn you to somewhere that they should be. Tell you, you're there going, and a lot of times people only want to expose you so that they don't get exposed themselves. So it makes me feel better to talk about you because I can deflect from my own skeletons so I can talk about your stuff. But if you really scratch me hard enough, I might cuss you out too. But if you really tell the truth, I don't have any reason to judge. Look at somebody and say, don't judge me. I feel like Tupac. Can't nobody judge me. So the child was laughing. Let me carry on. So she said, Dr. Emmanuel, she said to the child, I hope this is helping somebody. She said to Abraham, cast out this woman. Get her out of my memory. This woman that has bore another child. And the thing displeased the dad. Because he said, I would have never had this child unless you suggested it. We wouldn't even be here unless you put me in this predicament. She says, I want to remove the presence of them, because if I remove the presence of them, maybe I can get over the memory of them. There are some of y'all who think if you remove people, that means you dealt with it. You don't know you're delivered from it until you see it again and it doesn't affect you. You're not delivered. I feel like I offended somebody when somebody's neck was hurt. You don't get offended. You don't get delivered because you don't have an opportunity. You're delivered when they're rolling it up in your face and you choose to leave instead of partaking in the smoke. Y'all ain't say nothing. Just look at me. Don't say. But she felt like if she removed them from them, then that would deal with the physical presence of them and the memory of them. So that thing displeased the father. And so what was interesting, Mel, is that Sarah had done something wrong. I'm trying to teach this the best I can. Sarah, mind you, had suggested that her husband make an outside deal. Y'all remember that? This is better than having have nots. So she did that. But then later on, we find out that Sarah still had God's presence and his grace in spite of doing a wrong thing. So why is it that Sarah had no problem receiving God's grace? But when it came time to give grace to somebody else, she didn't want to do it. Why is it that you want to be forgiven for what you've done, but you don't want to forgive anybody when they do something to you? Why is it that we want to be blessed, but we always want to tell people why you don't deserve to be blessed? Why is it that a lot of us always want to discredit each other and say, she don't deserve him. Look at her on her Instagram looking like she's all that. Why is it that she can't be all that? Why is it that we have to discredit people just to make us feel good about ourselves? Because ain't nobody following you on Instagram. You want to get mad because somebody follows me. Just be friendly and God will give you friends. But why is it that we want to get it, but we don't want to give it? I want grace for me. I want love for me. I want forgiveness for me. But I don't want to give it to nobody else. So when God gives you what you don't deserve, remember to extend it to others who may not deserve it, but need it. Everything I've gotten is not because I deserved it. But God looked past what I deserved and gave me what I needed. It's not that I deserve his grace, but he gave it to me in spite of me. I didn't deserve. I deserve to be outed. I deserve to be exposed. Fill in the blank of whatever it is that you should be exposed from. But God covered it and gave me grace for it, even though I didn't deserve it. So what God said to Abraham, he said, don't worry about your wife. She's judgmental. He said, but I made a covenant with you. Sometimes, Lord, I feel like paying myself right now. Sometimes you have to remember what God said to you, even when your friends try to talk you out of it. Sometimes you have to look at your own self and say, you may not support me. You may not love me. You may not think that I'm all that. But when I looked in the mirror the last time I checked, I think I'm all right. I think I'm good. I don't need your validation. I don't need your support. So he had to tell Abraham, in spite of what your wife does not see, in spite of what she doesn't understand, I'm going to do a miracle in spite of the naysayers. He says, so go ahead and put the woman out. Don't worry about it. And the reason, then the second thing is, he said, the reason I want you to do that is because I'm going to give you another choice. Someone say another choice. Say it again, another choice. Not only does God give me another chance, but sometimes God gives me another choice. You want a Bible for it? Do you think that Jesus was just some, he just came up with something, he said, I don't know what else to do. I don't know. Robert, when Adam messed up, Jesus said, it's fine. I already got another choice. He said, I got somebody. What Adam did in the flesh, Jesus said, God said, don't worry, I will send my son to take care of what you did. And I want to tell you, if you made a bad choice, please know God will give you a chance to make another choice. Don't ever think that God will leave you where he found you. Don't ever think that he'll leave you a mistake just because you made a mistake. Someone say, he'll give me another choice. According to the Eastern law, I'm trying to teach this. According to Eastern law, the reason that she did this is it says, Coach, that if, according to Eastern law, if granted freedom, if a child was granted freedom from a male owner who fathered the children, the children would forfeit their share in his estate and lose the inheritance. Okay, let me break it down. The reason that she wanted to cast out the child is because she knew that Isaac was the promised child.
Yeah.
She said, so if I cast out this other child, that means when it's time for a child to be blessed, that child won't get the blessing too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to cast the child away so they won't get blessed. Let me tell you, how many people have tried to put me away so I couldn't be blessed? How many times I was supposed to be a statistic so I wouldn't be blessed? Put me away, put me in bad situations, put me in areas that I would not be able to come out of, but I defied every odd, and he still blessed me even though they tried to put me away. Has anybody in the room been trying to be put away before? Somebody tried to make you as if you were not, and you rose above every statistic. Try to put her away, put the child away. In verse 21, Genesis 21, verse 12 says, but God said to Abraham, be not displeased. Because the boy, whatever God says, I'm going to do it. I'll still make a nation of this slave woman because he's your offspring. So Abraham rose early in the morning, took the bread, skin of water, gave it to Hagar, put it in the shoulder. He says, and then it says, verse 15 says, and when the water in the skin, now when we talk about skin, we're not talking about the skin you have. It was an old Eastern type of thing that they would put water in. It's almost just like a water bottle. That's what it was. They put water in it. And when the water had gone out, she felt like her options had gone out. And I'm preaching to people who you feel like you are out of options. And you feel like there's no other chance for you. So she felt like because her water had gone out, that both her and her child were going to die. So she said, let me put my child on the bush. She set the child on the bush. It says she sat opposite of the child in the distance. She said, I don't even want to look at my child because my child is going to die. She lifted up her voice and started crying. And I'm almost finished. Verse 17 says, then God heard. This part messed me up. Then God heard. Let me see. Can y'all see that verse 17? Can we read those first seven lines together? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Eight lines. Can we read those? Let's do it together. 1, 2, 3. And God
heard the voice of the Lord.
Say it again. And
God
now, y'all missed it, but let me teach you class. Sarah cried. Not Sarah. Hagar cried. But what does that say? Did it say God heard the voice of Hagar?
Come on now.
Y'all don't get it. Hagar cried out, but God didn't respond to her. God responded to what was in her. Hagar wasn't for the promise, but her child was promised. I don't care what your mama did, and I don't care what your daddy did. You're the one who's got the promise. It has nothing to do with your last name. It has nothing to do with what city you came from. It has nothing to do with where you transferred in from. But it has everything to do with what God said about you. You were set up to die. The system was designed to make you fail. You are not supposed to be in school. You are not supposed to be alive. It's not that some of your other friends did not get shot. You are supposed to be in the casket. You are supposed to have AIDS. You are supposed to have STDs. You are supposed to be somewhere else. But God heard your cry, not your mama's cry, not your daddy's cry, but God heard your cry. Somebody say, he heard me. Say, he heard me. God heard the voice of the boy. Somebody who doesn't even know how to say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But all you know how to do is say, help! I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to speak in tongues. I don't know nothing about Baptist. I don't know nothing about non-denominational. But what I do know is I'm in a situation where I need help.
And when you get desperate enough, this is not for churchy people, so this might miss some of y'all, because some of y'all are too reserved. But when you get real desperate, when you get in a situation where you need some help, when you get in a situation where you look at the pregnancy test and you're trying to figure out if you're going to get an abortion or if you're going to keep it, if you ever get in a situation where you've got to get on your knees and say, God, if you don't help me through this, I don't deserve you to hear me, but I'm asking, can you hear me? I don't deserve to come out of this situation. I don't deserve to live, but Lord, help me. Somebody just holler out and say, it's a SOS. This is a desperate move, and I need you to help me. So the child cried out, and God heard the child. Look at somebody, just high five seven people and say, God heard me. God heard me. I said seven people. You told three people. I said God heard me. And I know some of y'all don't like to talk to people, and I understand that. But if you ever get in a situation where you needed somebody and you couldn't find nobody, but God stepped in, not when you wanted him, but he stepped in right in the midst of time. If you would look at somebody and say, he heard me. I didn't deserve to be heard. I was actually drunk when he heard me. I was actually in the bed when he heard me. I was actually backing it up when he heard me. I was actually in the club when he heard me. But I'm so glad. I'm so glad that he heard me. Tell somebody he heard me. I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pity my every groan. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to act like that. Don't y'all talk about me at school tomorrow. But if you ever get in a situation where you're just grateful that he heard you. God responded to the voice of the boy. For some of y'all who think I'm just shouting because I want something to go on Instagram, oh no, I ain't shouting for the gram. I'm shouting because of a memory. I'm shouting because of every time I think of the times I shouldn't have been heard, but he heard me. The times that I should have been dead, but he let me live. Should have been dead, sleeping in my grave. But look at somebody, say, he gave me one more chance. Shout. Tell somebody he let me live. Yeah. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm trying to be a nice preacher who doesn't sweat, who sounds like Joel Osteen, but it's not working. Sorry, Mr. Level. I want to bring you to a really casual, really golf clap type of church. But I want you to look at somebody and just say these three words. Look at them. Y'all looking at me. Say these three words. Say, I survived it. Some of y'all like, because you ain't gone through nothing. You ain't never had suicidal thoughts. You ain't never had somebody tell you ain't gonna make it. You ain't never had nobody tell you aren't gonna go to school and you ain't gonna be nobody and you ain't gonna survive it. But you look at the devil and say, whatever you said, I survived it. Glory to God. I survived it. Good. God heard the voice of the boy. He didn't respond to the mama. Why? Because the mama was old enough to make better decisions. He said, I can't respond to you because you consented to do wrong. But the child is not old enough to be a product of your mistakes. In spite of what you did, I'm still gonna bless the child. And God told me to preach this today to tell you that I don't care what you've been birthed in, God's got a blessing for you in spite of what happened, in spite of statistics. God's gonna bless you in spite of that. Woo, Jesus. So God heard the voice of the boy. Excuse me. God responded to the boy, and I got 8 minutes left. But he says, Coach, this is what almost messed me up, because another part messed me, because he said to Hagar, an angel responded to Hagar. God didn't respond, but he sent an angel. What happens when God doesn't speak to you, but he sends somebody else to do it? And I said, well, God, I want you to talk to me directly. And he said, there's something you're missing, Mario. I said, well, what did I miss? So I had to look. I looked at Genesis, the 16th chapter, and it says that earlier in the text, remember when I said that Sarah was mad at Hagar? Remember I told you all this story? That was in episode 1 of Heaven Have Nots. That was that story. And I said that they didn't like each other. Well, Sarah mistreated Hagar to the point that Hagar took off running. Hagar left and said, I don't even want to be bothered. I don't want to be in this because it's too much. So she left and she hid in the desert. So here we are in the desert again, and she's hiding just like she did before. Well, the first time she hid in Genesis 16, it says that the angel Lord said to her, he says, why are you out here? And she cries and says, because I'm going through so much, and this woman don't like me. It ain't nothing like sister wars. I don't have time to get into that. You know, Michael, sorry, Commissioner of Kentucky State University, you know, brothers can get upset about things. What? It's 2:20. I might not talk to you till 9 o'clock. But then at some point, we were like, you know what? Let's go out, squash it. Don't you go there. Sisters, on the other hand, will not only hold it against you, but will tell you when it happened, how long ago it was it happened, and why I'm still holding it against you. For those of you who are married, don't say nothing. Just let me. There's nothing like when your wife is mad at you about something that happened 6 months ago, has nothing to do with today, but something you did today reminded you of something that happened 6 months ago, and you be like, that's why all of y'all ain't nothing. That's why y'all get on my nerves, and you sitting here watching BET talking about black love, and you ain't loved me in a long time. When's the last time you massaged my back? When's the last time? I'm like, we were sitting here watching an oil, Vaseline oil change my oil commercial. What did it have to do with that? And then what y'all say? I'm just saying. I know what she is. So, I only got 5 more minutes. So she got upset. She got upset, was angry. And so the angel said to her, he said, why are you gone? And she said, because, you know, there ain't no love in the house, you know, whatever. He said, the angel said, go back to her. Hold on, this is where a lot of y'all sisters are going to mess up. Olivia, he says, go back and submit to her. What happens when God tells you not to run away from it, but submit to it? What happens when you're trying to avoid something that God wants to teach you in? When you're trying to run from all these different things because you don't want to deal with it. But God says you're going to have to deal with it, because if you don't deal with it, you're going to repeat it. I feel like walking down everybody's road right now. This is not the first time. I said this last week. This is not the first time that God has told you to deal with something. Y'all didn't come all the way to Grove Point to hear something for the first time. This is not the first time he told you to deal with something. But some of y'all are like, well, if I can just run from it, maybe he'll forget I'm supposed to deal with it. But God said, no, I don't want you to run from Sarah. I want you to learn from Sarah. Do you know There are some situations in my life that were so upset, so upsetting, messed me up so bad that I learned what not to do because I was in it. Because I was around it, I learned what I didn't want to become, what I didn't want to be. Can anybody be real honest real quick and say, it's not that I'm the best example of what somebody should be, but I was around some people that are still sitting on the corner right now, and I'm a freshman, I'm in a dorm that got, the heat ain't on, the air ain't on, it don't look right, but at least I made it here. I don't know what tomorrow looks like, but at least I made it here, and they told me I wouldn't make it, but I made it anyway. Somebody say, I made it anyway. So here it is. He said, go back and submit to it. And he said to her, he said, the reason I want you to submit to it, he said, because I still have a blessing for your child. I'm still going to bless your child. So the last thing is, the reason God didn't speak to her is because God said, I'm going to give you another confirmation. Confirmation, for some of you don't know what that means. What it means is, I'm going to confirm again what I already said. The first time I told you myself, but you didn't hear me. So the second time, because you didn't hear me the first time, I'm going to send an angel. Because I don't have to tell. God does not have to repeat himself twice. Some of y'all, I want God to tell me again. He don't have to tell you again. But he'll send an angel. And I was looking at the word angel. According to Revelation, it says, to the angel of the church of Thyatira, to the angel of the church of Sardis, to the angel to the church of Ephesus, to the angel of the church, all these angels. And I said, well, Lord, were they heavenly beings? He said, no, they were ministers of that church. Have you ever been if you've been in Kojic or apostolic, you've heard people come in and say, to the angel of the house, the pastor and the first lady. We don't do that here, because I don't want to be looked at as angelic. But they were looking at the ministers to say, my job today is not to give you a message that is ratchet, just to say I'm woke, to make you think I'm hip. My job is to deliver the mail that came from him. So that when I stand to the angel over the church of Growth Point, he said, I'm not going to speak directly to them, but I will speak through you to them to tell them what I already told them. Let me give you a word. I only got 30 seconds left. For those of you who don't know, some of y'all came to churches where they were talking about prophecy and real deep words. Let me tell you something. God will never tell you something through somebody that he has not already said to you. God will never go tell you to go get an Audi and you work at Dollar Store. God will never tell you that somebody else's man is yours. I think I lost the rest of the church. They're like, no, but I thought he's in. He just with the wrong one. No, 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 no. God is not the author of confusion. When God sends a word, he only reminds you of what he's already said. So he said to her, he said, I will surely multiply your offspring. I will still bless your child, even if it's in a bad situation. Priscilla Schreier said this. I'm through, Kenan. Priscilla Schreier says this. Circumstances can be just as sacred as a worship service when the Holy Spirit is in them. If he's orchestrating the events in your life, and he is, he can meet you and speak to you anywhere.
I want to take this time to thank you for your prayers, support, and generous giving that make this ministry possible. For more ways to connect, visit online at growthpointchurch.org. If you've enjoyed today's message, you can like, subscribe, share with your friends, or take a screenshot and share on your social stories and tag us at My Growth Point. Until next time, keep growing.